Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Any Given Game Day with Mike Carlson. I am Kieran O'Connor, joined as always by Mike in a different setting this week. Mike, maybe you can tell everyone.
Yeah, it's back to the hospital room. So the backdrop is not as exciting. Good thing we're not on YouTube at this point because there's not that much to see. But
you look better than the
hopefully
pair of us,
the
Mike.
audio. Yeah, hopefully the audio quality is just as good and the content is just as good.
Absolutely. And John is back from his week away. Where he was, one knows.
I was in the county of Cork on a work trip. Yeah, so it wasn't, I won't bore you with any of the details, but it took a lot of my time. And there will be future trips that also take a lot of my time. But sure, there you go. That's the nature of having to pay bills, eh?
Being a busy life.
Yeah.
We're going to jump right into Sunday's game. We're going to leave Thursday night football. Obviously, we usually record Wednesday. We're recording on Thursday, moving things around. Sunday's game, gentlemen. The Los Angeles Rams, Jacksonville Jaguars. It is 3 points of spread at the moment in the last of the international series games. The Rams are 8-13. The Jags are 5-4. 3 points of spread, 44.5 is the over-under. I just wanted to touch on some of the things about the international series that has kind of been coming along over the last sort of few weeks. Sunday is the 46th game that will be played as part of the international series in London only. 47 if you count the game in Dublin as a UK and Ireland team. The Los Angeles Rams and the Jacksonville Jaguars will mark only the second time in those 46 games that two teams with winning records actually faced off in a London game, which I suppose is the first criticism that you would throw at these games, that it would be kind of like saying, hey, the Premier League is coming to Boston. Go see Sunderland versus Wolves tonight at Foxborough, which I think we all kind of bought into and were absolutely fine because the NFL was coming and it was great to have the games. But I hark back to the first game that I went to, which was in 2010. I picked out the ticket recently the other day, and it was £80. And that was a Category 2 ticket, I believe. And just looking at the prices of the tickets now, gentlemen, and I have a little spreadsheet put up in front of me that, we'll say in 2019, we'll say a Category 1 ticket would cost you £125. And in 2025, it costs you £230, which is not a massive jump. But when you think about even the jump from 2024 to 2025 and some of the tickets, I can tell you a Category 6 ticket was £88 in 2024 and a Category 6 ticket in 2025 was £160. So it almost doubled in price in a year. This is the first year that all of the games in the in London technically did not sell out. There are still tickets available for Sundays and there were tickets available for the games. Whereas in previous years, it was very difficult to get a ticket. You had to log in quite quickly and there was always people complaining I didn't get tickets. So Mike, as we stand now, as we enter a next phase of international series with a game in Dublin, it's going to Asia, according to the commish. It wants to come back to Ireland. It wants to go to Australia. We've got games in Spain. We've got games in Germany. Where do we sort of go? Because it feels like we're not getting the games that some people want to see, and for various reasons, teams don't want to give a home game, and we're being overcharged.
I think the latter is the more serious problem, and I think there's a sense in which the league takes the British and to some extent Irish fans for granted, more or less. They know they're into a good thing. They've got a really solid and devoted fan base in these countries. I'm curious, I haven't looked to see what the price schedule is for Germany or where football is big and the NFL does have another good following there, or Spain where it's not. But whether they kind of lower the prices to get people in Spain, or whether they think it might just be a one-off, so you better get your money while you can. I think that the quality thing, and I used to talk about it all the time back in the days when there hadn't been two teams with winning records, is a little more random because you can't predict accurately what a team's record is going to be by the time they hit hit London. And the Jags were not a good team for a number of years, which gave you a difficult obstacle to overcome because they were playing, say, two of your three games would include the Jags. I mean, This year, you know, the Rams and Jags are both have winning records, which is great. But you know, the very first game in 2007 was Miami against New York, and neither had a winning record. And the Giants won the Super Bowl that year. You know, so you just don't know, given the vagaries of the schedule. So I, you know, certain teams don't want to come or haven't wanted to come, and they probably swing a good deal of weight with the refusal. But still, I don't think it's a deliberate plan to keep good games away. It's just the way things work out. You can't expect, say, the Super Bowl winner to open the season, or not open the season, but play in London in week three or four of the season, you know.
I can tell you, so the most London appearances, obviously, by the Jags, makes perfect sense. 12 games, essentially London home team, have played there every year since 2013, except obviously during the pandemic. Miami Dolphins are second with 6 games. The New York Giants have played 4 times, as have the Chicago Bears. And the Ravens, Bills, Rams, Patriots, Eagles, Seahawks and Titans have all played 3 times. I guess the pricing is and thing, and I'm actually, when we said we were going to speak about this, it is worth noting that the NBA game that is being played in London is priced up, and there are huge complaints over, but you know, prices ranging towards what did you say, Mike? 200 and something?
I think the cheapest were 260, I think.
Yeah, I looked at tickets that were $800, you know, $800. I'm John, like we mentioned this when it was in Dublin. Because I just don't know. It's just going to continue, I guess, until there's a possibility that there's an NFL game that, you know, has only a 3/4 full stadium, which would look bad for them. But, I mean, if they announced, hey, look, we're coming back to Crowe Park next year, it's unlikely that that would happen. You know, Kansas City Chiefs are the ones who have been sort of mooted as being the ones who want to have a home game in Dublin. So, obviously, that would bring its own party and all of that. But again, I paid $300 in the end for my ticket for the Dublin game, and the Dublin hotels, it's a smaller city than London. They knew what they were doing in terms of jacking the price for some of these nights.
Yeah, everything's dynamic priced from the, like you say, from the hotels to the game itself, and seemingly to like other elements like the taxi drivers. All of a sudden, their prices seem to be a little bit more rogue than they used to be, particularly during that weekend. But yeah, I think. To your main point, Kieran, I think the idea, it is still a very developing market over here for the NFL. And yeah, they are still riding that wave of enthusiasm. And just as it relates to the teams they're coming over, like this weekend's game between the Rams and the Jaguars, that is, as you mentioned, that they're two winning teams at the moment, both of them coming into the game with 4-2 records. But you'd wonder as well that I don't necessarily think to this point that the majority of fans would be to, you know, perhaps even the people who don't follow the sport as closely as certainly the people in this podcast and most people who listen to this podcast would do. They don't really follow the ins and outs of the league or who's losing. They would, however, be drawn into the idea of a big team like the Patriots or, Kieran, your Dallas Cowboys coming over. That would be a huge...
Of course, America's team.
That would be a big thing.
But not Ireland's.
yeah. But, you know, when you have a brand coming in like yet. That as well, it furnishes the idea even more. But look, I don't think it's surprising to learn that, like, I'm personally, and we all are, I assume, all for more of those games in this part of the world, particularly in Dublin, given the fact that's where I live. But yeah, I think there will be a little bit of picking and choosing as you know, as the league and the individual teams themselves find out the best practices. It was interesting because I watch a lot of the pre-commentary, like the press conferences prior to the Vikings Steelers game in Dublin, like lots of stuff with Tomlin, lots of stuff with Kevin O'Connell. And particularly Tomlin was saying that there was, you know, 10 years ago or something there or thereabouts, there was a great deal of uncertainty with teams coming across the water to play games here. When you factor in travel, you factor in the time zone, you factor in this and you factor in that. But he says there's been, strangely, maybe one of the instances of the teams leaning on each other for support and advice. He said the owners and the GMs and the coach and coaching staffs themselves, they would frequently ring up or communicate with other teams and say, like, listen, when did you go over? Where did you stay? Did you stay up late that night? So I think they have, you know, they've basically gamed out a scenario that makes it the most, you know, achievable for success for each of the teams. So slowly but surely, it's still a developing concept, I think, even though, you know, it's proven commodity for the NFL in terms of its finances at the moment. But yeah, I think what the next, if you do start to see some of the ticket sales dropping and people reacting, like you say, Kieran, to the inflated ticket prices, I think that's when they would kind of put some of the big guns over, like the historic franchise of the Cowboys, or I don't know, the Bears, or teams like that, you know.
Yeah,
and
I
they
guess
better
Mike
watch
just
out bringing. Yeah, they better watch out bringing the Chiefs if Kelce retires and Taylor Swift doesn't show up.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, I guess really what's put into function into this focus is obviously it was a terrible game on Sunday. It was one of the, and I watched all of it for my sins. An interesting one about the thing, because let's talk about the game, because the LA Rams are 8-13, the Jacksonville Jags are 5-4, 3 points the spread, 44.5 is the over under. And Mike, John mentions dealing with the times. I guess technically, this game is on at 6:30 in the morning in LA.
Yeah.
So will that be a factor?
But they spent the last week in Baltimore. They played the Ravens and then they stayed in Baltimore and then flew over from Baltimore, which is a lot easier than taking the red eye from LA. It used to be that everybody thought spend the week. You know, fly over Monday after a game or Tuesday, and then spend the week to acclimate. But it seems more effective to practice at home on Thursday, fly Thursday night, and then have your light practice on Friday. Your walk around on Saturday, if you're doing it, and then play on Sunday. And for Baltimore. For the Rams, that 2 o'clock, 2:30 becomes 9:30, which is a little bit more palatable. But we still see teams all the time just kind of zombie through the first half, you know, occasionally, and it's kind of not dependent on which scheme you use, which plan you use for your arrivals. Obviously, the NFL wants a team here during the week if they can have one, so that they can do promotional stuff on the side and get that publicity value. But I look at this game as being slightly unpredictable, a lot more so if Puka's not playing. I think he's still questionable as of today. If he's playing, the Jags are so bad on pass defense, I would give the edge to the Rams. Even giving the points. If he doesn't play, I think it's a more even contest. But I still kind of like the Rams. I also would not be surprised if this one went under, even though the over-under's gone down to 44.5.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there, Mike. I think that it's very dependent on whether or not Puka Nacua is going to play in this particular one. As we all know, we don't know, he's the best receiver in the NFL so far this season in terms of pure receptions. He has 28 more receptions than any other of his teammates on the Los Angeles Rams. So if he's not playing, clearly there's going to be a mismatch there. But the other thing to note in this, if he doesn't play, that's going to have the Rams be forced to presumably run the ball a little bit more against a Jags rush defense that's number two in opponents' rush success rate. So that'll be an interesting development as well. So we'll see what happens there.
If you're desperate to get a game down on tonight's game, Pittsburgh at Cincinnati, I will note just a couple of facts. I'm not making it in, but Pittsburgh is 1-5 in their last six appearances on Thursday night. Joe Flacco has beaten the Steelers in Pittsburgh 11 times in his career.
Well,
and
that's because
he's
65. That's why.
And this is the total combined age of the two quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers and Joe Flacco, is 81. And that's only been matched, I think, three times, but by the same two guys, Tom Brady and Drew Brees.
Yeah, yeah. You're as young as you feel, though. 81's only a number.
It's only a number.
Yeah, yeah.
Joe Flacco's 61 and Aaron Rodgers is a reborn 20. The reason that we're talking about this is that Kieran has gone.
His laptop has crashed. So,
Compos mentis. Yeah.
The inmates have
so
taken
this
over
may
the
not
asylum
be,
now.
Yeah,
I'm not even sure this is being recorded, but we're acting under the suspicion that it might be.
Well, moving on, then to the early
Well, I was going to
games.
ask you a question, actually, Mike, just about, was we talked
Okay.
about, we talked a little bit about the London games, and you know, we've particularly on this show, we've made a big deal about how the, you know, the travel time, as we just mentioned, can impact things. Is that what you blame for that very strange Denver New York Jets game last week, the 13-11, or was it just
You
a
have
weird
seen
game?
the Jets, right?
Yeah, no, but like I've also seen the Broncos too, though, you know.
Yeah. Well, the Broncos, the Jets offense kind of played into the Broncos defensive hands, and everybody made a big deal about Justin Fields only having 45 yards passing, but he actually lost 55 yards in sacks. So
Yeah, so it's yeah, minus
the
10.
Jets were minus 10 passing. Hard to win in the NFL when you're minus 10
Yeah, I
passing.
don't
And
like,
Aaron
I
Glenn
mean,
had,
yeah, I'm not a coach now, but I
yeah.
think you have to have positive margins in passing to succeed in this game.
Yeah, and I think Aaron Glenn is kind of pushed ahead of Jonathan Gannon in the next coach to go
The sack race.
sweepstakes. Yeah,
Yeah.
and that impacts the Vrabel Bowl, where New England goes to Tennessee, third straight road
Oh.
game. And I always think back-to-back road games are tough, but three back-to-back-to-back road games may be a lot. Tennessee's playing with Mike McCoy as the new head coach, who was there as an advisor to Bill Brian Callahan, and they're 7-point home dogs to the newly resurgent Patriots. And I'm tempted in that to take the Titans to with 7 to upset. And then I look at it and
I know, yeah, exactly. Like,
I think, nah.
what do you latch on to there, really? Like, I mean, Cam Ward isn't well,
I
he's not
think
looking like a number one pick so far.
no, and I'm not sure the Patriots defense is perfectly set to give him the trouble that Denver's did. They don't really have the pass rushers that Denver does, and they're a bit shaky in the deep secondary. So Ward could make some plays, which could change the complexion of the game. On the other hand, the Patriots could also have a tough time with the Tennessee front. Jeffrey Simmons is the best player on the team. He's one of the best kind of unrecognized players in the league.
He's great, yeah.
So that could disrupt their run game too, which then puts the game on Drake Maye's in the Drake Maye's hands with Stephon Diggs and Kayshon Boutte.
I like that you said that there, Mike.
You
Okay.
know.
Yeah. Where do you
It's,
fall on
yeah.
give me your thoughts on Drake Maye as a quarterback? What are your thoughts on him?
I think he's going to get there. I think, and I said last, I think it was last week. He's been Josh McDaniels has sort of been breaking him in and putting more and more on his shoulders. And I think each time he does, Maye has stepped up. He made a
Yeah,
couple
it's
of
a
really good long throws, including a 61-yard touchdown that was called back on a fairly cheap offensive pass interference because Diggs blocked a guy at just down from the line of scrimmage. And then after the ball was thrown and completed, they threw the flag for offensive pass interference, which is the way the rule is stated. But, you know, it's still a game where you can run or pass. And in my mind, you have to kind of be allowed to block for a run until it's obvious the quarterback is throwing a pass. Especially when it's not anywhere near you, it's a tough penalty to lose a touchdown on.
The Philadelphia Eagles take on the Minnesota Vikings 8-11 about the Eagles. The Vikings are 11-10. 2.5 is the spread. 43.5 is the over under. Mike, what way do you land with the Eagles now after a few weeks of kind of some odd results?
Yeah, this is one of those cases where you expect to have a players only meeting that nobody knows about except everybody in the building plus the press, and they really need to settle down both on offense and defense for a team with such a good looking offensive line. They've been making a lot of mistakes, and they haven't quite been getting to the second level for Saquon. You still see holes at the line of scrimmage, but you don't see that extra block that sets him free for a big gain. And although Minnesota's had a bye week, so they've had time, extra time to prepare for Philadelphia. Philadelphia played the Giants last Thursday, so they've actually had extra time to prepare for them as well. I think the injuries that Minnesota have outnumber the injuries that Philadelphia has. And I would probably take Philadelphia even giving the Vikings less than a field goal, but 2.5. And I can see why this one's been bet down. It was, I think it might have opened a bit higher, but 43.5 seems about the over under that it should be, unless one of those teams explodes. But that's always the case. Sam Darnold, maybe your best strategy is just let Jalen throw,
Maybe. What do you think of this one, John?
Maybe.
What do you think?
Yeah, I kind of agree with my. I think the interesting thing is the Eagles have, despite having a 4-2 record going into this, I think they most people would agree that they have flattered to deceive a little bit, and a lot of that is because of, well, principally because of obviously how hot Saquon Barkley was last year, last season's Offensive Player of the Year. This year, he's off to, by his standards, quite a slow start. 325 rushing yards throughout the season, throughout six games so far. That translates to just 3.4 yards per carry. Now, Philly need him back on track, as Mike says, and obviously, it's not just a matter of clapping him on the back and saying, "No, off you go, Saquon." You kind of need, as Mike suggests, you need the offensive line to come into sync here as well. And look, we've talked about it a lot on this show, but the, I don't know, like that, was it last week or the week, the four Philly specials in a row? I mean, I just think that's a little bit ridiculous. It's the most,
Yeah, it's Thursday night football, yeah.
it's the most debated play in football at the moment, and it has been for a couple of years now. I've long been a proponent of retaining it, but you're kind of taking the piss a little bit if you're just repeatedly doing it over and over and over again, as I did in that particular series, to get it with the objective of getting towards a first down. But yeah, because it's obviously just a very difficult play to officiate accurately, and I think that's the main issue. So look, that's a conversation probably for another day. In this game, I think that the I think this is a good, despite the fact that they're 2.5 point favorites, it's a decent spot to be to sort of buy low into the Eagles. I think they can actually go to Minnesota, and it doesn't take much to correct the path that the Eagles are on, in my opinion. So I think that 2.5 points spread is eminently gettable from a Philadelphia perspective, particularly remember with the quarterback instability in Minnesota through Wentz and McCarthy, and this Carson Wentz is. Yeah, he's doing the job, and he's like, listen, even against Cleveland in that London game, he had that really fantastic pass in the dying seconds to win the game. So he's got that in his locker, but at the same time, there's a reason he's not generally considered to be a starting caliber quarterback in this league. So I think that could go into it as well. So I think just to tie it all up, I think this is a good opportunity to go in big on the Eagles.
League Yeah, we
wanted to
won't talk
get
about the
rid.
tush push.
If the league wanted to get rid of the tush push, one of the best things they could do would be to not give what look like obvious touchdowns to the guy pushing, and then the controversy might say, look, we just can't referee it.
So like air on the side of the defense, and if it's up in the air, defense of the benefactor.
It's not really up in the air though a lot of the time, is it though? Like Jalen, like they look quite significantly over the line most of the time, especially if it's fourth and one or whatever. Like they end up like they definitely get like 3 yards, so it's hard to sort of say, oh, you didn't get it, even though the ball is blatantly here. In the midst of all the chaos of the last few moments, where Kieran's laptop might have played up a little bit, I've forgotten what game we're doing for the
We're
half nine.
doing
Was it Packers Cardinals or
the Colts?
Indianapolis 5-1 plus a point and a half at the LA Chargers 4-2. The over under on this one's 48.5.
Let me just repeat all that because that's my job. Indianapolis Colts are 11 to 10. The LA Chargers are 8 to 11. 1.5 is the spread, and 48.5 is the over under. LA Chargers, yeah, we talked a lot about them being cock teasers, and they've kind of flattered to deceive. They got the job done at the weekend, but I don't think there was anything too over the top. And during, John, I'll come to you because during your missed week last week, me and Mike kind of had a little chat about which was the most surprising team, Jags or Colts, in terms of, coming out and doing so well. And the Colts won again, and the Jags obviously didn't. And just with the way the Colts, this high octane, Daniel Jones, Jonathan Taylor,
Tyler Warren,
yeah, they're just fun to watch, aren't they? Like, yeah, well, they're great this year. Like, it's great.
Yeah, I think it is funny. Like, in Jonathan, not funny is not the right word, but it's interesting that in, like you say, in Jonathan Taylor, they have one of the best backs in the league so far to this point, and he just, to my opinion, he just suits that offense down to the ground. Like, that style of running, that kind of hard nosed, like run through you, run over you rather than run around you kind of thing, I think works very well for this offense. And look, it's that. I don't think anybody really saw this coming with Daniel Jones playing to this standard that he is to this point in the season so far. You know, I think I was reading a thing during the week about the MVP, and I think the people who are putting themselves forward for this to this point of the season are very, very interesting. Obviously, one of them is Patrick Mahomes at the moment. I don't think anybody would be terribly surprised by that because he's having a good season. He's actually, for some reason, he's a rushing quarterback this year, which seems to be working for him. But the other ones that it's very interesting to note, I've seen Daniel Jones mentioned and I've seen Baker Mayfield mentioned. And I think the Baker one kind of speaks for itself. I think in some people's opinions, I'm not sure what the odds are specifically, but he's up there near the top in terms of the favorites for the MVP, which I think would be interesting. But to see Daniel Jones in there too, really goes to show that sometimes all you have to do to be a good quarterback in this league, and I think I made this point a few weeks ago, is leave a bad team and then get to a team that is just a little bit more settled. And that seems to be the scenario that Daniel Jones has found himself in after kind of a roughshod couple of years, or more than a couple of years, 4 or 5 years in New York. It's maybe even more than that. It's the fact you just have to, as I said before, you just have to leave New York to expand your career as a quarterback in this league. So maybe that's all there is to it. But yeah, I suppose just on the Colts, I think their run-centric identity coupled with Jones playing so well is just really, really working for them at the moment. And as well, like I'm going to mention him as well, the rookie tight end, Tyler Warren, has been really, really good. He's basically turned into the team's top receiver, which for a rookie tight end to have such a large element of the offense going straight through you is incredible. And he wasn't even the first quarterback or the first tight end taken off the board in the draft this year. That went to Loveland, who ended up in Chicago. And I think, I don't know, maybe I'm not going to speak for everybody here, but I think we can look at this in the eye test and be like, okay, Tyler Warren, that guy is going places. He's got that sort of, he's on that same thing that we saw from Sam Laporta at Detroit, or from Trey McBride in Arizona. He just looks like instantly he's a top, top caliber NFL player. So I think coming into this game, the Chargers were a team that I was high on as well, but I think that the injuries across that team now will slowly and surely start to take an impact in there. They're missing some key players on their offensive line. Their top two running backs, Omarion Hampton and Najee Harris, are out. Harris is out for the year. We're not really sure when Hampton's coming back, so they're going further and further down into the depth chart. So, like, Vidal played well last week, and he looked like he can fill the void for the time being over Hampton. But look, in this league, if you keep stripping back and you keep losing starters and you're going to the next man up, eventually that's going to tell. And particularly when a team like the Colts come to town, who just seems to be on top of things at the moment. So I think the Colts are getting 1.5 going into this, and I think that's where I'd be looking at this, personally speaking.
Okay. Mike, yeah, the
one real problem for Colts is that they allowed Jacoby Brissett to throw for over 300 yards last week. And so if the Chargers are reduced to that, where they have to throw a lot, Herbert's obviously better than Jacoby Brissett, and they can make something of that. Mm. But Indy's offensive line is really good. They're playing. Quentin Nelson's not the only one, but he's playing at just an exceptional level. Yeah. So I kind of like Indy getting, it's only 1.5, but they're still getting 1.5 on the road. I kind of like Indy in this one. And I do think the 48-5 is possible. You know, it's in danger, as we say.
Okay. No, I was going to say is that the MVP Chase does look quite wide open.
Give me the odds there, Kieran. What you got?
Mahomes is 2-1. Josh Allen is 3-1. This is off Skybet today, by the way, because I'm moving around because we don't have a thing anymore. So I don't need to be a Betfair bitch anymore. But Patrick Mahomes 2-1. Josh Allen 3-1. Baker Mayfield 7-2. Drake May 9-1 is 14's bar. Daniel Jones down is 22-1.
Perhaps it's further down than I thought.
He would have been treble figures
when
we started. But Mahomes, yeah. I'm not sure Josh Allen should really be 3-1 there at the moment.
He's
doing really well. Maybe to be that lofty is a bit strange, but look, I am we've said it, like, I'm a big Baker Mayfield fan. I think most, if you're a football fan, you gotta like this guy. Like that it's made a lot of headlines and it's floated around social media, but that run where he got the first down despite nearly being sacked, wasn't that, like, I know I'm a Baker guy, but you have to agree with me, that was just a spectacular piece of entertainment.
Great, of course, you are. I should mention that John is 6-0 in our fantasy league.
6-0, baby. I'm playing you this week. Yeah, you're going to beat me. I think. I strongly think you're going to beat me.
I don't want to go there, John. I really don't think so. But anyway, and George Pickens, what a pickup! Like, I mean, anyway, fair play to you. Atlanta Falcons take on San Francisco 49ers on Sunday Night Football. The Atlanta Falcons, fresh off a huge win. How do you go from losing to the Panthers 30-0 or something to beating the Bills? It's a funny old league,
isn't it? Yeah.
You go from there, Mike. We got 1.5 is the spread, 46.5 is the over under. Like, 49ers, they're beat up again as usual. Like, would you really have them fabs?
No, to be honest. Fred Warner's out. To me, that's the killer. That's worse than almost everything. Kittle might be back, but Bijan Robinson he gained, 170 yards rushing, and he had a pass TD as well. He's going to give them a whole lot of trouble.
He's the best back in the league this year.
He or Taylor, I think. I'm kind of torn between the two. But I would not, you know, I don't even think San Francisco can generate enough pressure to bother Penix enough to affect this. I would sit on Atlanta, even though San Francisco always seems to be well coached at home and, you know, makes life difficult. But that's what they're getting 2.5. So I think that's probably worth it.
Do you want to hear a little fact? I've got a stat here about Bijan Robinson, if you want to hear how he's performed. Take into account, by the way, that the Falcons have had their bye week. So that in that, like, other players in the league have played, or a lot of other players in the league have played one more game than Bijan Robinson. Bijan Robinson leads the NFL with 822 scrimmage yards after a bye. That means he's on pace, if he continues this trend, for 2,795 yards, which would match Chris Johnson's 16-game pace. So this is he's looking at, like, I mean, it's obviously it's hard to keep that up over consistently over a 17-game season, but to be 822 yards after five games is quite impressive.
That is very, very impressive. Who has him in our league?
I had him last year.
You still have Chris Johnson?
Never say die.
Monday Night Football, Tampa Bay Buccaneers take on the Detroit Lions, 9-4. About the Bucs, the Lions are 4-11. That's moved. 5.5 is the spread, 52.5 is the over under. Do you know what, John? I'm going to come to you first because me and Mike spoke a lot about the Lions last, and I want to get your opinion. I know you listened to the show and we did make fun of you on a number of occasions, and we waited to see if you would come back. So it's hard to tell how much of it you listen to.
Well, you make fun of me on the shows that I'm on anyway, so it's not really.
But it was a good one.
Change.
We kind of assessed that the Lions were playing in a kind of a third or fourth gear, that they were, I think, Mike, you said they've changed coordinators and things like that, that you felt maybe that was the reason why.
Well, they lost Johnson and all these boys, so yeah.
So what gear do you think they're playing in at the moment, and what gear can they actually get up to?
How many gears do they have?
They have 8.
8? So right now, they're in, like, sort of 6th gear in this weird car that they're driving. And they're trying to shift up to 7th. That's kind of what I would think.
Because they'll need to get to 8, let's be clear, guys.
Yeah, everyone knows 8th gear is top speed. I think the Lions are probably playing to a level that many of us would have expected this year, because when a team is as successful as they were last year, just scoring points for fun and, you know, going into the postseason, and also just being, you know, obviously one of those teams that kind of turned in a very short period of time, turned their fortunes around quite substantially, that means that basically translates in this league too, that your coaching staff is going to be taken apart by other teams as they look for more, you know, more bigger jobs or more high paying jobs or so on and so forth as it goes. So I think there will be an impact in Detroit and teams like this finding that level of consistency that they had so spectacularly last season. Can they get there? Can they get to this eighth gear, Kieran? I'd like to think so. I do like to think so, because they're scattered with very, very good players all across that team. And, you know, Amon-Ra is, he hasn't really missed a beat from last year, as far as I'm concerned. But in this game, this is a tough game for them. The Bucks are visiting them, so the Bucks are the away team this time around. But they're the substantial favorites, which is quite interesting to me as well. We've discussed Baker Mayfield playing at MVP level form to this point. I've got the actual stats on him here. His completion rate is 66.2%. He's thrown for over 1,500 yards. He's got 12 touchdowns against just one interception. And now that's despite the fact that he has at various points no Mike Evans, no Godwin, and now, as of last week, no Ibuka, which is a huge blow, which will seriously strain the receiving core there for the Tampa Bay game. So you've got Tez Johnson. I'm not sure if Sterling Shepard is going to be playing this week. I'm not sure what his fitness level is. So I don't know if you have Cade Otton, their tight end in your fantasy football team. I think you might be having a good week this week, because Baker's basically got no one else to throw to. So I think this is a game where, if you also just to wind it back ever so slightly, I think from speaking to some Bucks fans and just kind of monitoring their trends over the years, this wouldn't be the first time that they started kind of hot, and then as we get towards go past Halloween and the evenings get a bit darker, they seem to lose a lot of their momentum, or the wheels fall off ever so slightly. So if that's going to happen, this is the time that it's going to happen, when they're such a depleted wide receiver core and some of the others. Like, obviously their main running back Bucky Irving is gone as well, so they're leaning on Rashad White now in that regard. So look, I think for the first time this season, the odds are really, really stacked up against Tampa going into this game. So I think the Lions could be coming to this one into the ascendancy. But look, if this is another game where Mayfield kind of leads a fourth quarter revival and gets them over the line with like a mad rush to get a first down, and throws like a 50-yard bomb over the shoulder of Ted Johnson to go into the end zone, look, just give him the MVP award now. That's what I would say. But I think my gut says that the Lions are going to come out on top in this one.
Mike?
I agree. I agree with John. Although 5-5, you know, if that line gets bent up a little bit, I think Tampa's still dangerous enough, because we know what Baker can do in fourth quarters to get a backdoor cover on them. Plus, the Lions have the most insane failure rate on trick plays that work. And then the referees, remember last year it was the Dan Skipper not reporting eligible when he reported eligible, and the referee simply didn't see it because he was busy yakking with someone else. And this week it was Jared Goff not pausing at some point when he went into motion, because he had gone under center, even though he hadn't gone under center. He was just near center, you know. So they get bad luck on that kind of stuff. But I like them to win here. And on John's point, I'm not sure that Tampa have the weapons to push this one over 52-5.
That's a good bet, Mike. I like that one, actually. Yeah, under is looking good here, isn't it? Yeah.
Washington and Dallas are 54-5. And although both teams can collapse on either side of the ball at any time, I think that one's actually more likely than the 52-5 in this game.
One thing you touched on there, and I was going to bring it up, but we talked a lot about the international game and all that. But Mike, since I have you on it, there's actually a very important footnote to that Sunday night trick play that the NFL might find themselves in a little bit of hot water down the line. Dan Campbell says that the referees told him on the field that the illegal motion call that wiped out the touchdown came directly from New York, that they were the ones who said that it had been that. After the game, the referees denied in the pool report that outside help was used to drop the flag. The situation obviously wasn't reviewable under the rules as written. Outside help was not allowed. If the officials missed it, they missed it. But Dan Campbell says they told them on the field, New York have told us. So if New York are going to get involved in things like that, then other people would say, well, why aren't they getting involved in these false starts on a tush push and things like that? Like, if they did get involved, and I don't really understand why Dan Campbell would say something that was inaccurate, it's a big Pandora's box to open if New York start coming in on things like illegal shift and things like that.
It's
like,
happened. What the fuck it's is that? Happened before. Yeah, it's happened before where coaches have said that and then the referees backtrack and deny they ever told the coach that because that's what they have. That's what they have to do. And I think New York does do that. I just have never been able to figure out exactly qui bono, who benefits. You know, if you could find a pattern of some team that they're trying to push during a season, you know, and all you need are one or two breaks, which can change the result of your season quite considerably.
Of course. And also, it does follow on from that game, which was also interesting, because when was the last time a team weren't flagged? Kansas City. Flagged the whole game. That's pretty fucking crazy, like. In NFL 2025 NFL game where
Mahomes plays for them. You can't flag a team that Mahomes plays for.
I mean, the laundry was flying, Mike. We spoke on last week's show how much the laundry's been flying, and suddenly you mean for every snap there was no pass interference, no one jumped offside. No one.
Now, in fairness, Detroit only had four penalties in that game. So it wasn't like they were
just
throwing,
don't ruin my conspiracy theory stuff, Mike. Don't bring stats like that. Like I'm trying to stoke up controversy. It helps the pod. But
Mahomes inherited Tom Brady's kind of, they never throw a flag against the Patriots or Brady, which wasn't quite true.
If anything, the Chiefs should push the envelope a little bit more, shouldn't they?
Yeah,
Brady's going to be interesting. It's going to be this interesting this week because Rashee Rice is back for the Chiefs.
And, let him cook, Rice.
And they're playing the Raiders, who are 11.5 dogs.
All right, this sounds like your best bets. This is a great segue into best bets, Mike.
Yeah, I'm tempted to take the Chiefs giving the Raiders 11.5, which I just never do as a best bet.
How did we do last week on the best bets? Specifically,
Last week's besties.
Over to you, Mike, for our, I'm pretty sure I won.
That would put you into a winning record, I'm pretty sure.
John took my bet, which was the Patriots, giving three and a half, and they delivered by four.
I forgot it was that close.
It was six, 25-19. I had, probably my worst bet of the week, which was over in Seattle, Jacksonville. And they got 32 between them, and it was 46. And Kieran was over in the Rams, Baltimore, which was 44-5.
So I backed that. That didn't go over.
That's a terrible game. It didn't go over. So anyway, Kieran, the standings right now.
I backed on Sunday, yeah.
John is 4-2.
4-2. Look at this.
Kieran is 4-2, and I'm 4-2.
Okay.
So the pressure is on in week 7.
I'll go first. I get mine out of the way.
Go first.
Mine isn't my. This isn't a best bet. This is lock of the week right here, guys. This is lock of the week.
It's kind of what they're supposed to be, but anyway.
it's going to be Cleveland over Miami.
It is. Well, no, it's going to be. I go to the well on this one quite frequently, so I feel like I don't even need to explain my reasoning for this anymore, but I will because it's a podcast. Miami Dolphins are visiting the Cleveland Browns this weekend. The over-under in this one is a massive. This is a huge over-under for a Cleveland game. 39.5. So I'm very much taking the under in this one. Now, I'll explain why. The Cleveland Browns at no point this season have scored more than 17 points. And to the best of my knowledge, unless I misinterpreted what I read a little bit of a while ago, my Miami Dolphins haven't really scored more than 20. So that adds up to 37 points being their highest achievable point scores with that. And if you are good at maths, 37 is lower than 39.5. So that's why I'm doing that. And just to add, to go back to my gimmick of the NFL weather watch guy, there is some quite
He's one.
extreme weather forecast for Cleveland this weekend. We're talking
There is.
very big 60, 70 mile an hour gusts. So it's not really going to be, that actually might help the Browns passing game, to be quite honest with you. But this he has all the signs of a low scoring game between two teams who don't really know how to score points. And for some reason, the odds makers have put the over under at 39.5 when they had the Browns at, what was it, 34.5 not so long ago. So I think, yeah, I'm looking at the under in this one, and I'm taking that all the way to the bank.
Okay, I do like that one. There is meant to be terrible weather, so that does make sense. Mike, do you want to go first, or you want me? Which way you want to play this? Age
I
before
don't care.
beauty.
Well, go
Right.
ahead
Well, then
then.
I'll go because mine is very much a lock of the week because there's a total mismatch, and it's the Carolina Panthers at the New York Jets. Panthers are 4-5. The
Why did
Jets
I
are
say
eight and
why?
one.
Why did I say go?
The Carolina Panthers. On the money line at 4-5 could be or minus 1.5 at 10-11 is like the absolute bet of the weekend. Like one is like they're incomparable as teams, really, to be honest. Like yeah, Jekyll and Hyde from Panthers, the Jets are just shit. Like so it's Panthers, baby. Rawr, all day long. Over to you, Mike.
Okay, well,
Oh, actually, you said and you did sort of imply that you might go. Are you agreeing with me, by the way, or were you going to go for the Jets or something?
oh no, I think Carolina is a great bet there. And I also
You.
think under 40, 42.5 is probably a good bet too. I'm really tempted by New England minus seven at Tennessee. But I'm going to take Seattle minus three against Houston.
Okay, that's good.
Houston plus three at Seattle is probably a
But
better way to describe it.
it's just about allowed. Because it's like the last game of the weekend at 3 o'clock in the morning.
So that's my
So
but what are you
Seahawks
doing,
minus
Mike?
three and a
That's my
half.
bet.
Oh, what are you doing, honey? I'm just
Seahawks
staying up till
minus.
3 o'clock for Mike's bet of the weekend.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm staying up for 3 o'clock for the game to
That's
start
still
for Mike's third
yeah,
last
no,
right. Yeah.
Seattle's down, they're down to three now. Houston's down to three. It's
That's
looking like a more competitive game.
correct me if I'm wrong. I think that's a nice little treble there, isn't it? Seahawks minus three and a half, Browns under, and Panthers
Minus
minus
three.
one, minus three.
Minus three. Okay. It is, and you should definitely do it, John.
I will. I
And
will.
that is it. Listen, obviously we started off the show by talking a lot about the international game series and the game at Wembley and the games at Tottenham and the game and how expensive the Olivier are heading to this weekend's game. I hope it's an absolute cracker. Hope to see lots of touchdowns, high scoring game, lots of offense. A lot much we actually do need the game to be good because I'm so glad that what we saw in Broncos Jets is not kind of how you end the international series, at least because it was so bad. And no one's explained to me why the Broncos just decided not to throw the ball in the second half when they were shredding them in the first and didn't make a pass attempt till the fourth quarter. Like, we just don't understand sometimes the way to do these things. But anyway,
Yeah, it should be a lot of
yeah.
fun though. Like, I mean, these games, they're a novelty and it's good fun for fans. I will say to people listening to the pod, if you think you see us there, come up and say hello. It'll be really, really funny because we're not going.
Yeah, we're not going to be there at this one. And Mike, you're not obviously going to be there at this one.
I'm obviously not going to be a Sean Payton can be a very contrary kind of guy. He might just get it in his head. Well, I'll show them. If I don't need to throw to beat the Jets, I won't throw to beat the Jets.
Yeah,
And he nearly lost. I mean, we have all seen the fake punt, which was like they didn't have they had their offensive line on and they had their running back on. He wasn't even, so it wasn't a fake punt. It was the offense lined up to run, and the Denver Broncos just like took too long to figure it out. Like, how did you not see that? Everyone can see what they were doing. Even the people on the NFL Network were like, it's a fake punt. It's a fake punt.
So when you're playing Madden, you press the wrong play or something. Oh crap, I've got the guys out there.
That's it. Look, yeah, absolutely enjoy the game. And yeah, it's all business from here up towards Thanksgiving. and some of the bigger games this season. Thank you so much to John Baff for joining us this week. And Mike, thank you from your hospital bed. Mm-hmm. Of course, shout out.
Don't forget,
you're feeling much better. Much better.
Don't forget to gamble responsibly. Ignore everything we say.
Absolutely. That is the most responsible thing that you can do this weekend. I'm Kieran O'Connor. This has been Any Given Game Day with Mike Carlson. We'll talk to you next week. Bye for now.